We didn't think about him that much.
Self-centered?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Got you.
It's a different time. Yeah. And you're younger. And,
yeah, exactly.
And you're not
exactly.
fully understanding everything. Yeah, and yeah. Even something like death can, as a young mind, you can just kind of try to shut it out and not deal with it.
Yeah.
How much of the album did he produce?
Probably about like 75%. But and the rest was other producers that I think are not producing anymore. And you know, let's say the entire album was kind of remade from things that we built, Max and myself, like with basic equipment. We were working a lot with SoundForge before. SoundForge?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So just placing the hi-hats one after the other and sound by sound, Sharov.
So do you remember offhand some of the beats that you guys, or some of the tracks that you guys had ready, and then some you had another producer make it into a reality? Or?
So A La Vache was created. Okay. So the first version, you couldn't hear a single thing. There was so much bass. Everything was loud, and distortion. Distortion was part of the beat, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So that was very dirty. But the guy, Jean-Luc Rimet, reproduced it. But kind of still, it was raw, but it was not the same as it was before. So
you still have that version?
No, man. lost it. Yeah, but I would like to hear that. Yeah.
Any other tracks that you remember, you guys?
There is in the English album, the track was called "The Journalist." In French, I think it was called "Génération Essidea." Mm-hmm. So that beat also was created first, and I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think so. Move On, definitely no. Pat Chilling as well, those were not created by us at all.
That's Jean-Luc Rimet.
Jean-Luc Rimet, 100%.
Those two, man.
That's crazy.
Special beats. We started the show off with Move On. I was going to wait till later in the show to play Pat Chilling.
And
get into the story of that too, because one of the most influential tracks, you know what I mean? Here in the province, that was the first track I ever heard that had English and French on the same track.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, shout out to Sabrina Jean as well.
Yeah.
Right?
Scandal. Yeah, man. So how did that, how was the creation of that track?
Scandal, she was brought in by Vincent Ingres. I worked with her once on a Dubmatic track. That track is kind of lost now.
Yeah, I've never heard. You guys heard the Dubmatic before.
Yeah, exactly. That was a track with a lot of people rhyming in it. There was Scandal. There were Dubmatic. There were another group. I think it was two girls and one guy. They were called La Gamic. Mm-hmm. And some other people. I'm not sure. So we did that track very fast. But
was that for the album with Soul Pleureur and
Été à Montréal? I think so.
Force de comprendre, that album, basically.
But no, maybe it was exclusive, or it was not on their album, not on Dubmatic's album.
No, I'm not saying it was on there, but was it recorded for that album, and then they didn't put it on it? And
that's possible.
It was just
that's possible.
If you remember, I don't know, I'm just...
I'm not sure about that, what happened exactly. I remember where I recorded that, on St. Hubert, at Tux Studios. Tux, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was the label of Dubmatic. So we recorded that there. Then I met Sabrina Scandal. After that, lost contact with her, but Vincent Ingres mm-hmm. brought her back in. So we just created that track together. Like we thought on the beat, because of the atmosphere, it would be great if we could kind of balance.
Mm-hmm.
Because the beat, you cannot tell if it's something positive or dark. So... Yeah. We played around with those two vibes.
It's like a Brazilian sample or a Portuguese sample
or something.
Because I remade the beat one time for one. I made a project that was kind of dedicated to the Montreal metro system and remade a couple of classic beats. And I remade Pud Chilling.
Oh, nice. Was that with Art Beat or something else?
No, that was just my personal project. And I'll play it for you later.
Yeah, let me hear that.
And yeah, just going through that old song, it's like, it's just that one part, just to say that, just because that one part of that track is like, the rest of the song isn't like that, but that one loop, man, is just kind of very mystical.
Okay.
And it's like you say, you don't know if it's positive, you don't know if it's negative, yeah. but it's like in that that yeah. zone of just like, you know, it's very hip hop, man.
Yeah, yeah.
So you meet so Vincent brought Sabrina back in.
Yeah.
And to balance out the track.
Yeah, we wrote the track. Let's say we said, okay, that will be the concept. And then after that, everyone went on his side and wrote. The day after, like, we recorded that. I remember Max Outre wasn't sure about the track. He wasn't 100% feeling it. So the vibe, it was kind of... I think he was seeing too much the positive side of the beat and didn't see himself fit into that. Mm-hmm. So I tried to kind of balance it and bring our own flavor into it. With Sabrina, and you can hear it in the rhymes. She's talking about sipping lemonade. Even for her, I know like what she spits, and she kind of went softer for herself.
Yeah, she was chilling on it.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. exactly. But that was a good vibe still.
Yeah.
So we balanced that. Our verse or our part was a bit darker. So that
was the tough lyrical part of the track.
Yeah, exactly.
yeah, man. Yeah. And even in the English version. So. Did you do that all in the same session, like the English and the French?
Yeah, one session, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, most of the tracks we did, they were recorded very fast.
And how come you didn't get Sabrina to spit it in French?
Yeah. I think she never wrote in French.
Okay.
Not sure why. Yeah.
That's funny. No. Oh, that's cool, man. Where did you guys record that one? Is that at Victor as well?
No, that was Destock.
Oh, Destock. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Down in Verdun.
Verdun.
So how long did that record contract situation last for?
Yeah, I think the deal was for about maybe 3 albums, I think. But the contract, let's say, was broken after a year. Yeah, so, you know, it's because we didn't have any manager. Like, after a year, like, we started to kind of, you know, the thinking process went... let's say, in different ways. So, like, we started to get, let's say, a little bit paranoiac.
Mm-hmm. Paranoid?
Yeah. Yeah, paranoid.
Yeah.
With the contract. So, and still we were young, like 20 years old, and, you know, always, like, drinking and whatever. So, and a lot of influences. And this is where the tension with Radisson was a bit, let's say, like, more and more, and without getting... like better. So at a point in time, it was escalated to let's say the big boss of Radisson. So a guy we never seen, like he was from a Swiss bank or something, because these guys had a lot of money, like, to invest in music. That was the good thing. So, and they trusted us as well. So, but like, there were a time that we weren't happy about the contract. After a year, like, we wanted more. Like, always more and more, and people influenced us, and not always a good thing, because maybe there was some things that we could have done, push it further and take more control, and, you know...
That's where a manager, as a mediator, would have been
exactly
something ideal.
Maybe we could have built some kind of label under them and then learn from their experience.
Definitely,
and then
because, I mean, they put in a lot of... And that makes me think of something I forgot to ask is the videos, you know, that that's not like, hey, we're gonna go with the iPhone and get a really good quality, like, no, like, that took a lot. So, like, why don't you walk us through like, let's say we were just talking about Pud Chilling. Yeah. Why don't we talk about the Pud Chilling video, like, where you guys shot it and the whole process for putting that together.
So that was Vincent Ygret. So he was producing the album but also the videos. And this guy had a lot of concepts. Like, I think he was ahead also of his time. So, so the concept of the video was in some kind of a industrial, like, building that was abandoned. And there was a Rosemont in a spot. And, like, we started to record the album maybe in March or April. And we were recording the video, shooting the video in May. I remember, and like, we did a call in the radio and we said Rain Man is shooting a video in a specific date. If you guys want to go through, then be there, etc. So we filmed with a lot of people there, It was very dark with like clouds of smoke.
That's a sick video.
Yeah.
Like to this day. Yes.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah. With the concept and everything.
Yeah.
Mm.
And so, and you guys kind of like, whose idea was it to set you guys up? Did you guys have any input when you're there? Like, oh, we're going to stand here behind this mic. And, you know, because you were set up, like, it looked like Scandal had like a crew on the side. And then you guys were kind of standing up looking like you were on a podium speaking down to the people. And you know, like what?
You know, these details, I don't really remember.
You know, as a fan, these are the things I think of, you know?
Yeah. So before, maybe, like, there was some kind of, brainstorm together with Vincent, but I don't even remember that.
Mm-hmm.
But all I know is that it sticked to the way that we were. So that was the good image that we wanted that fitted us. So at the end, it was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. So, yeah, when I hand you this, let's see. Like,
he's handing him a record right now, people out there in the radio line.
That's the one of the Pud Chilling singles.
Yeah.
Do you remember when that was pressed up, or if you ever saw it? You've seen this before, obviously.
Yeah.
Right?
99. Yeah, I have like the copies. Like we gave them to a lot of people, and like we only kept one.
Mm-hmm.
So I still have that one, but you know it's a piece that is like it's all dispersed in Montreal and in France and
I saw like Belgium.
Yeah, yeah. Belgium. Yeah.
So true. The English album was released in Belgium or something?
No, that was the
vinyl.
Oh, the vinyl, yeah, probably.
Cuz here it was released as a CD and a tape.
Yeah.
And then I think the vinyl was released overseas, right?
Yeah, so the full album.
Do you remember why or like how?
It's probably the deal that we had with V2. So we had a licensing deal there. But that, you know, I never found it. That entire album in vinyl, never had it. Never. But we never requested it as well or searched for it.
Well, they never even hooked you up with one.
Like, no.
They never said, here you go.
No. Okay. Yeah, things were moving kind of fast and we weren't very conscious, and we
sounded
should have
a little janky, if you ask me. Did you dirty, fam? I'm joking.
Let's get into Pod Chilling.
Yeah, let's hear
and,
that.
And we'll be back in a couple minutes.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else you want to say about the track before we get into it?
Pod Chilling, the atmosphere. Listen to that. Well,
go check out the video, yo.
Yeah, true.
On YouTube, yep. Pod Chilling, Rain Man.
Nice.
Lemonade. I cut the cards like a blade. I'm in the yard with my niggas. Top villain, call me bank. Mathematically, I got my figures. Picture my picture. I got the good shit. The kind of good shit. You know that everybody wanna get with. Scandals here to vandal. On the beach, I wear my sandals. I'm too hot to handle. And my words just call your mess.
Naufragé d'allure sombre. Je vis dans l'ombre. Sans fausse honte. À boire à la ronde. En fin de compte, les autres rêvent sur les ondes. Ce qui compte, c'est que le cash est compte. Faire sale comble. Tant que le tonnerre gronde. Que la pluie tombe. Puis que les troupes abondent. D'où arrive ta joie de vie, je dois dire. Je préfère choisir de moisir. Que de rêver soit de loisir ou de croisière. Je te vois venir. Toutes ces choses-là, elles sont un goût amer pour moi, ouais. Mais juste deux fois trois bières à refroidir. Arrête ton cancan, comprends qu'on rentre brillamment. Y'a pas de chilling, pas de feelings, pas de semblant, tu m'entends.
I hear what you're saying, you betraying the words I'm displaying. Preacher of this sad life, pretending ain't no time for
playing. Arrête ton cancan, comprends qu'on rentre brillamment. Y'a pas de chilling, pas de feelings, pas de semblant, tu m'entends.
I hear what you're saying, you betraying the words I'm displaying. Preacher of this sad life, pretending ain't no time for playing. This what I do, I'm jumping out the shower. Spray on the woof and women smelling fresh around the hour. Devour all the mess that try to pick me like a flower. Rendezvous for business, yo, I meet you by the tower. By the power that G.O.D. invested in me. Respectfully, it's my
my last name, so you shall remember the. I could rock your body, make you sink, la-di-da-di. Nobody marks me out, cause I could surely rock a party.
Transition du simple au complexe, conteste que raconte cette gonzesse. Morale concrète, rentre dans le complexe pendant que le monde fait. Mon concept est déconcert, toi faudrait que je me décomplexe, que je décompresse. Jamais je concède quand je converse, le stress pète les pieds. Jab, cherche les guerres, porte la charge, on reste fier. Gestionnaire de caisse de pierre, faire renaître la faible lumière. Cesse de faire taire, la misère de cette ère, je dégénère. Malgré les liens sous des soldats perdus. Arrête ton camp, comprends qu'on rentre brillamment. Y'a pas de chilling, pas de feeling, pas de semblant, tu m'entends.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, you're betraying the words I'm displaying. Creature of the sad life, pretending ain't no time for
arrête
playing.
Arrête ton camp, comprends qu'on rentre brillamment. Y'a pas de chilling, pas de feeling, pas de semblant, tu m'entends.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, you're betraying the words I'm displaying. Creature of the sad life, pretending ain't no time for playing. Yeah, I rock a party till the mood is just right. Puffin' ganja on the block, I'm heated by the sunlight. My appetite, spicy wings and Heineken beer. My atmosphere's relaxed, so stress does not come near. Bag of jeans and Timbs, I front the proper gear. Strictly 18 and 24K dressing up my ear. Shit, I'm chillin' God and you don't know the half of it. If I got beef up with some women, you know I'm packing.
Ok, arrête le cancan. Les escapades, j'ai pas le temps. Toi en tout ce que j'entends, j'suis indépendant, j'vais de l'avant. Divinité dans le sang, présentement sans manquement. Surpasse grandement le puissant matérialisme dépravant. Clairvoyant, fort croyant. Je connais pas que par espace sommeil sans fin. J'ai attendre quand le temps vient. Rien que c'est jamais en vain. Faut que je trouve un job. La vie peut pas chaque jour être plaisant pour tuer le temps. C'est un réel de tous les jours que t'aimes. Arrête ton cancan, comprends qu'on rentre brillamment. Y'a pas de chilling, pas de feeling, pas de semblant, tu m'entends.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, you're betraying the words I'm displaying. Creature of the sad life, pretending ain't no time for
arrête playing. Arrête ton cancan, comprends qu'on rentre brillamment. Y'a pas de chilling, pas de feeling, pas de semblant, tu m'entends.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, you're betraying the words I'm displaying. Creature of the sad life, pretending ain't no time for playing.
Arrête ton cancan, comprends qu'on rentre brillamment. Y'a pas de chilling, pas de feeling, pas de semblant, tu m'entends.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, you betraying.
All the way live radio, CKUT 90.3 FM. That was Pud Chilling from Rain Men. Thanks for the story behind, you know, you gave a little history behind the track, man. It's nice to know.
It's some kind of mental effort to get back to this time and remember everything, like the single details, but that's a very good thing.
Yeah.
It brings us back, you know, on the ground.
Mm. Yeah. And I hope you and your partner and Sabrina know how much of a... how much that track is how legendary that track is. And, you know, it goes from different generation to generation, and people, like, people are still messing with that track, man.
That's crazy, man. But it's very well appreciated whenever we hear, like, these comments, because we didn't realize it back then. Mm-hmm. And especially, like, whenever all the shows that we did before, like, the recognition was so rare. So, like, after that track, it just went like all over sudden, basically. Yeah. So that's crazy.
And for that album, you guys also hooked up with how? Because I know there's, I think was Sabrina Scandal on another track as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think she does the hook on another track. Right?
Yeah, Un Seul Chemin.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, Only One Way, that was in English as well.
Yeah, we played that earlier too, right?
Oh
no, okay. Did
it? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Oh, okay, my bad. Oh yeah, it's true. Mm-hmm. But who else from Montreal was on that album?
Not a lot. Like, this is,
I know there was a couple people, but they weren't on the on the version I have. It's just not listed.
Okay,
the French from France artists are listed, but the other.
Ah, okay, yeah.
For some, yeah.
Montreal artists, most of them, or basically all, they were people that were related to us. We had some kind of collective group that we called Acropolis. So like they were, Sparker Brothers back then, they were called Frontline. There was also Arsenal, Wise Dutches. I don't remember what was his name before, but, now it is that, but you know, right now people are living either Toronto or Vancouver. Like the collective was kind of, let's say spreaded, but at the same time it still exists. So, and that album, those were the only featurings that we had. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then you had the very famous French artists featurings.
Yeah, yeah.
Like you had La Clica.
La Clica, Funky
Family.
Yeah. Stomy Bugsy and Passy.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
So how, from my understanding, you guys flew out there to do those collabos?
Yeah, I think it was done in a single weekend. Like it was all arranged that we would go from that studio to this other one, and meeting with those groups in Paris. So that's a very good thing. Right now, a lot of tracks are being recorded, over the web.
Yeah.
So, but back then we
were in your own city.
Yeah,
you could
exactly.
be across the street from a guy, yeah. and you're just like, hey, yeah. I'm sending it to you.
Yeah. But back then it was impossible. So you couldn't send an email, I think.
Facts.
So you guys went over there to get that, also to get that energy too. Because, I mean, you could have, in those times, you could have shipped the real tapes over there, and they could have shipped them back, but you guys actually physically went down there. And
yeah, that would have taken like a week and 2 weeks. Mm.
And the energy's not there at the same time, right?
Completely.
So how was it being in the studio with those guys?
That process. Funky Family, I remember we spent the entire day writing inside the studio, playing the track in loop. And that was... and. Like we were fans of Funky Family.
Yeah, definitely.
On the French side. So, always listening to their album, La Furie et la Foi. And even today, I'm working a lot with Pone, who's the beat maker for Funky Family. That was crazy. So, just being kind of impressed with them, working with them, writing rhymes the best way we can, making sure it's a track of quality. After that recording, so writing is one thing, but recording after that, hearing their verses, and just like the verses that were on their album, same kind of quality on a new beat with us, so that was crazy. Passy was kind of I would say on top of his prime. So he had a lot of singles that were kind of mainstream playing on the radio.
Even in Montreal on hip, like if I'd watch hip hop, like this
Music
guy would
Plus.
Have. Yeah, exactly.
Music Plus. Yeah, he was playing a lot. So that was kind of a strategic track for us. But still the instrumental that we had, I think it was a beat from a guy from Ice Spike Crew, Ronnie. So I'm not sure if this guy's still making beat, but Ice Spy Crew, like that was a crazy Montreal group, sick. So he made the beat, and that was a beat that was kind of raw, so not mainstream, not commercial. So I think Passy appreciated getting a beat like that to kind of get back to the way that he was doing music before getting mainstream.
Yeah.
And that was the same for Stomy Bugsy, same exact thing. So
That Stomy Bugsy track, man.
Yeah, La Clica, there was a little bit of tension in the studio.
Oh yeah,
That competition, I would say.
Okay.
And now I think whenever we look at that, it didn't make sense, not only from their side but from our side. So everybody grew up, but back then there was a competition. Like I think that these guys were seeing people from Quebec as, some kind of a in a country, in a big region.
Okay. Not being from the city or.
Yeah, exactly. Little,
trying to say, say that we're slow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, but crazy experience regardless, man.
Yeah.
And you guys did shows out there as well, right?
Yeah, only one.
Okay.
A single show in a festival. Yeah, so that was in the south of France, they do Francophonie, just here.
Yeah.
So we took the train, the train à grande vitesse. So, and I remember that we met Ideology, Kerry James, there in the train. So there were a lot of groups performing. So we were the only group from Montreal.
Nice.
Yeah, there was Funky Family as well. Yeah.
Dope.
But these days kind of went fast. We just remember some basic single things, but all the entire day went. We don't remember nothing about that.
Yeah. Where you didn't have time. Yeah, no. You didn't have time to lay back and enjoy.
No,
it was
not at all.
Go.
Yeah, go.
And I think everything kind of lasted about maybe 6 months.
Right.
So those were intensive 6 months. Mm-hmm. So when I said earlier we were good in a short period of time, that was that short period of time. Mm-hmm. But after that, it went down. Nothing, no, there was just some shows here and there, but it was not constant.
Okay.
And we didn't realize that. We thought it was forever.
So I forgot to ask about the Move On video.
Yeah. So that was shot in Saint-Henri.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can see it from the walls, like the way that the colors, etc. It was all shot there. There was that shot in the basketball court in the school. I don't know what school it was, but yeah, it was all shot in Saint-Henri in a single day. There was a rain part that was with a boyau d'arrosage, water house or
water hose.
Water hose, yeah.
Water hose. Yeah, so that was it. Basically, with Vincent Ygret, that was the second video that we did. We were supposed to do Flouze with Olavash combined together, but that never happened because this is when the contract was broken. But we should have done that video. I think it was it would have another kind of impact that we had. I think it would have been a very good thing. Yeah, if we did these videos.
Was the decision because maybe like Move On was kind of more commercially accepted,
exactly.
Like, you know, with the, because you had Witt Sejean singing
exactly.
on the hook.
Yeah.
And
There was that kind of formula for the radios, that format.
Right.
Especially at that moment of the 90s.
Exactly. With the Matic, et cetera.
Yeah, exactly.
And this is the part that we were argumenting a lot. Like, we didn't like to a format.
But how do you feel about that format now? Do you think it was a bad idea? Or?
No, I think it was a good idea to have that and target the radios
as
well.
I mean, yeah.
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 Yeah, I think yes. You still need some tracks in the album that are not... You cannot do all the same and
exactly.
really like a box. So
you need to cover all...
Yeah.
All aspects.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But having one track like that, or two tracks, or three, that, I think
it's necessary.
Yeah, it's necessary. It's necessary. Yeah, just to keep the sustainability of what we do. So that was the artistic kind of clash that we had when doing the album.
Right.
And if it was only us, we would probably have done one track with no hook and just verses back to back, just like Wu-Tang used to do. That was our inspiration.
Facts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Facts. Shout out to St. Henry, man. St. Henry's in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So after... Oh, yeah. Was Jean-Luc Rimet in any of those videos?
No, he was not. He was not. He was kind of always in the background. So, no, it was not the kind of guy used to show a lot, but also he was from France, so he flew only to make the beats, probably just for a week. Yeah, but it looks like time doesn't.
So you guys didn't have any relationship with him prior.
No,
it
no.
was the Vincent label. Gret. The label. Okay,
exactly.
Yeah, so
Vincent Gret brought him.
He brought. He said, "This is the guy that you're gonna work with."
Exactly.
And
yeah.
So was he an up and coming producer? Does he have other stuff that he did in France that we would know? That
yeah, Meloman, he worked a lot with them. He was part of the group, Meloman.
Okay.
Yeah. So there is also his partner that is still there. He kept the name Meloman. We're still in contact with him. So they were both in the group. But like I think it was all the beats were done in about a week or two, but before that we had a tape with different choices, so maybe we had about 25 beats and we chose those will be the singles.
Okay.
So Pat Chilling and Move On were already done before, so after that
you guys chose those
we
beats
chose.
from a tape.
From a tape, yeah.
Crazy.
We probably only chose about three or four, and then the rest he completed on spot. So he recreated
Did he bring his drum machines and stuff like that?
I think
here?
So, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember what he used to use? I'm a producer, so I'm curious with all that. You know, if it's for the producers listening.
I think he had an MPC, or maybe the MPC came a year after, Akai 2000, or maybe in the same period, but... I remember he had the Planet Fat. Yeah, and there was one called Proteus as well.
Okay.
You remember that?
For Rax.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, those.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
Yeah. I didn't like the drums that much. Like, I preferred MPC than Proteus or Planet Fat.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I hear you.
Yeah.
That's cool, man. That's cool to understand, because I thought it was somebody from here who even made those beats. No. I didn't even know.
But there were some people from here that participated there.
Do you remember any names?
There was a Junior, but I think he doesn't make any beats anymore. He didn't even have a nickname. Was there any other people? Not sure. No. I think it was it. Just Junior and Jean-Luc Rimet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So after that release, you know, you talked about how you guys kind of went separate ways. And so, you know, tell us about the years that followed.
Yeah. So 98, like it went through with shows, and like the year ended really with a big show in the club Metropolis or Club Soda, something like that. Mm-hmm. Spectrum. Then after that, 99, we were kind of already preparing our new album, but at the same time wanted to get out of the deal with Radisson. When we managed to get out of that deal, like, we had our own studio, and we were producing with Acropolis, etc. But there was something that happened, and this is, I'm not really... talking about that on radios, etc. Mm-hmm. So this is where it kind of slowed down the entire process. Mm. So we were supposed to release an album, etc. It didn't happen. After that, like years passed by, we went back to school. Like I started before Radisson, I started the some kind of a degree, and it stopped because of the Radisson opportunity. So I went back to pursue that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the years passed by. We wanted to do an album back, but it didn't work out. So like 5 years goes on, like you don't even see about that.
And the game was really changing in those times.
True.
It was big going shape from... Shift.
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to have a video and everything, you have to be signed. Like, you know, yeah. you guys were signed, Dubmatic were signed, and other than that, you had to be independent and really have a little bit of backing to the situation.
Mm-hmm.
To a situation where, oh, now, you know, things are selling less in stores. There's mixtapes in the streets, and internet's starting to take over.
Yeah,
how is that process like that?
Yeah, exactly.
The world was changing.
Yeah, the world was changing, and like we had some tracks recorded here and there, no management, long-term vision, not really, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Not clear. Just wanted to record tracks here and there, but without thinking about will that work or not. And at the same time, I think this is a good thing to not think too much and just do your thing. So I think I wouldn't change a thing about that.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember 2004, this is where we had a serious project of doing an album with a good team.
Right.
We were recording in Ottawa. So that album finally was released on June 6th of 2006. It was supposed to be released May 31st, but it was delayed of a week. Mm-hmm. So we didn't like the date. Like releasing an album on the June 6th, 2006, like it was kind of...
Oh, it was the 666
thing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. And it was... I
didn't even connect that. Okay.
Yeah, so like we were... Okay, starting from then, we will release a product every year. Like on July 7th, 2007. August 8th, 2008, September 9th. So that was a decision that we took in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
So 2007, we had a mixtape, Ultimate Jal, that we did. 2008, we had a street album. And this one, I'm really proud of it. I think this is the best album that we released.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some kind of a revenge, I would say, because I made most of the beats for Business Legal, the 2006 album. But people were kind of mad about that. They didn't appreciate. They were kind of used to the sound that we had with Armageddon. It was very professional. And like, with that album in 2006, we we got back too much to what we used to do before in Wretched Prophets with everything loud and no structure.
Okay.
So people, it's not everybody that appreciated that. So the critics were kind of very
harsh.
Let's say, yeah,
they
exactly.
were hard on you guys
for a comeback. So 2008, when we did that Street album, Armageddon 12, 12, 21, 12.
Okay.
We did that album in 2008. I made the beats, and now the critics were better. So I took more of my time. Sometimes it's a good thing to have less confidence and be careful. So this is what happened in 2008. So it was better, and I was proud of
it. It's a good
line
right there.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. In 2009.
It's a jewel.
Yeah.
Message.
Yeah, 2009, we did a DVD. So all the footage that we had over the years, starting in 98.
Nice.
Like, we even went to Music Plus and collect everything that they had in their archives, and we did a DVD.
I watched the DVD.
Yeah, yeah. It was a self-biography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was actually one thing in that happened in the DVD I wanted to bring up, which was the show that you guys went to at TQS.
Which one?
There was a show where they had
Blackout.
Like a, exactly.
Yeah.
So what show was that normally?
Yeah.
Like, it was just a regular talk show?
I think they were some kind of debates, and there were that animator that was asking questions to people, but it was very entertaining.
Okay.
So there were people from the crowd, and I think those were actors in the crowd asking questions to people. It was basically entertaining. So now they add that topic to talk about racism. And they invited us. I don't even know how comes, like, we were called to.
Yeah.
So, like, there were different people that were in the panel. That was a panel, basically, a debate. And some kind of facilitator, interviewer that were asking some questions. And it was some crazy shit, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah. Because one lady got up and said some real ignorant stuff.
Yeah.
Very close-minded stuff about race, like, you know, a certain race.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like it was a setup for you guys to flip out or something. I don't know. Like, especially in those times, and what she was saying was just kind of really wild, you know? I don't want to get into it too much because it's not even worth it, but go watch the Rain Man DVD. And,
Yeah, that was a sample that we had in that DVD. But besides of that, like, that was crazy.
That's why I had to ask you, because that's only like 1 minute of it, and it looked like it was pretty. Yeah.
It was an hour.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
you know?
That was an hour show. There was that group that performed a song talking about Aunt Jemima and like people laughing in the crowd. And we weren't laughing, and we said, no, that's not funny. Like, why are you guys laughing about that? And so
it was a big setup.
Yeah. And
awkward.
Yeah. At the same time, you can say there are things that have evolved and got for the better. At the same time, it's not changing. There are still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
That's, yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, but yeah, the DVDs, it was nice to get that history from the group. I like finding any kind of thing like that. And so what kind of music do you guys still do music nowadays?
Yeah, a bit less, though. Max is more active on that side than me. Like, right now he's releasing something, maybe you guys have seen that on social media. In French, it's called L'Art Tentaculaire. So it's really a concept with an octopus and, you know, touching many things and like being active in many spheres.
Yeah.
So this is what right now he's doing. Okay. Planning to release a track every month starting this Friday.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice, good timing.
Yeah, so yeah. So you guys will be able to see also some visuals there. So still active.
Where can people, so I don't forget, where can people find his music this Friday or in general?
Yeah, so that, if you follow social media, Rain Man L'Un des Deux, you will be able to find that. Then after that, there will be, you know, the traditional thing, like the link in the bio, that will be
so
that.
Rain Man, L-U-N-D-2.
Exactly.
Okay. And you've been busy recently.
Yep.
Working on your own project,
yeah,
which you kind of started to tell me about last time when I met you.
Yeah.
And let's talk about it, man. It's called Hitstory.
Yeah, it's called Hitstory. So it's really, the next step after Patchiling 2.0 that we did, which was kind of pilot project.
Yeah, why don't we start at Patchiling 2.0 and bring it to that?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
So 2018 summer, we wanted to do this remix of Patchiling. So we wanted also to stay in the same line of what we did back then 20 years ago in 98 with Scandal. But instead of doing a featuring with a lady like that, traditionally, we would ask people to suggest a female artist to perform with us. Mm-hmm. So we just shared with them a list of like people in Toronto, in Quebec province that could be featuring on us. That was not a contest, though. That was more asking people to co-create with us, to participate. So, and not only the female artists, but also the instrumental. We asked them to select amongst a list of 11 beats, which one they wanted us to perform. So, of course, the 11 beats, there were instrumentals that we were feeling and that the female artists would also feel. So they chose a beat maker from Quebec City called Max OG and a female artist from Toronto called Jet Lease. So then after that, after like a month of collecting, you know, feedback from people, like we got in studio. The rhymes were written, everyone separately on their end. And in a weekend, very fast, we created the song. The day after, we created the video clip. And then after that, it was released on all platforms. So this is something we wanted to start 20 years later, make people participate into the creation process and use technology with it. Because like when I said earlier that I went back to school, basically I went in technology. So now this is where I started over the years to feel like two separate people, like one doing music and one in like doing consulting and technology. So it was kind of a bit schizophrenic. Mm-hmm. So I really wanted to bring back those worlds with that project, basically.
Okay.
So that was the pilot project. After like a couple of months, we even did shows in Toronto, Quebec, Montreal. And I always wanted to build a mobile app that would kind of automate that process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is what we're doing right now. There is a launch that we will do in Ausgang Plaza of the mobile app.
Yeah.
So that's March 19th.
Yeah, next Thursday.
Next Thursday already. So much work behind that. People will be able to download the app on, you know, traditional like Apple Store, Google Play Store. And we have about 25 beats that people can select from about 8 beat makers. They will also be able to select a vocal artist. Like we have 4 people. We have Greasy Dex from Toronto, Phoenix from Montreal, now living in Toronto, Gibré, and a guy called L'Autre, who's very new. That's the first appearance that he will have. So it's just a matter of making people participate in the creation process, listen to instrumentals, and see who would fit the best on that beat. Mm-hmm. After hearing their latest tracks, seeing their social media, and then after that, we just released the track based on the one that has the most votes. We do a video clip and making off. That's the process, basically.
Yeah. Okay, so you want to get people to help co-create, like you said, and kind of bridge the gap between artists.
Yeah, that's
link up exactly. Artists who they think should be making music together.
Yeah, but
is that one way to
exactly this is matchmaking for musical artists,
okay,
or twinning. So whenever you have an artist in English, another one in French that do not collaborate together because of the language barrier, or you have an artist that is very well known that does not collaborate with an artist that is less known because of whatever invisible barrier that is
politics.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Geographic barriers as well. Mm-hmm. Basically, this is we're making them, we're giving them an opportunity also to have the public deciding which one participating as creators. I believe everyone has a creator or creative
mind.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So that was really the idea. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's a dope idea still.
Yeah, thanks
for well, for sure.
Yeah.
So what should people expect when they walk in next Thursday at Ausgang?
Yeah. So Ausgang is a very good, nice place.
Yeah.
It's a very nice place, and I think we will exploit that as much as possible. There will be like beats, of course. Mm-hmm. Like we have 100% control on whatever we'll play there. So we will. This is not something that is happening like very frequently. So people will hear some very very like music of our choice. Let's say. Mm-hmm. There will be visual arts as well. So, not sure if people are used to that. Me, I'm kind of new, but visual arts is whenever you have lights and like C2 events, very immersive experience, kind of bringing that technology side of things. Mm-hmm. So, a lot of people networking, people in the industry, music industry, technology industry. So, that's a good place to do contacts and meet some artists.
Nice.
And I must say that in this city, we don't have enough people who bring people together. Like, there's not enough manager types, let's say. Yeah. A lot of people, they want to be the artist these days. And there's not enough people who, you know, put themselves in that situation where I'm going to be the medium between. I'm going to be the glue that holds everybody together. And that thing... You know, that's rare, and I imagine that's definitely one of the reasons why to even create something like this, because, you know, it's like everybody's walking on parallel streets sometimes.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. Like, and I didn't see it from that aspect, and I think this is something that we should put the emphasis on. It's really the fact, I think that's a problem that we add, that we always add in Montreal, is that everybody believes they have the solution. Everybody believes that they're the best.
Mm-hmm.
And without realizing that everybody's part of the solution, but doesn't have the entire solution.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where, whenever you see an artist that is popping up, like, we should encourage that artist and put strength together and say, okay, the more he blows up, the more I have chances to blow up myself after.
Yeah,
because whatever he can expect from me, I can expect from him as well. So this is a mentality that is not natural.
Mm.
Even like Rain Man for ourselves, like, we didn't have that at all. Like, first album, we didn't invite nobody. We thought about it a bit, but whenever it got complex, we said, oh, no, screw that. This is not something that's a priority for us to have other artists other than people that we know,
right?
Part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, man, forget this. So,
and that's the environment you were brought up in too.
You know?
So it's kind of like it's got to get put to an end somewhere.
Yeah.
Somewhere something's got to give.
At the same time, you cannot force things that are not natural, especially with art. But I think that there are some people that are able, even in restricted conditions or forced conditions, to create something that makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, beat makers. When I met you on that art beat, like, I think all the beat makers are giving a sample.
Yeah, so that's Loop Sessions.
Yeah.
Basically, they got the idea from Brazil.
Okay.
So Dr. Matt and Lupienza, they went down to Brazil and they went to this event, and they saw at the event that what they do is they have one person brings a record and everybody will have 5 minutes with the record.
Okay.
So let's say there's a computer attached and you get the recording from, you know, so I'm going through the record for 5 minutes, flip the record, And whatever I find there in that 5 minutes in that recording, I take that back to my station. Okay. And those are the samples that I have to work with. Whatever, wherever I ended up going, you know, with the needle during that 5 minutes. And so everybody has a couple hours to sit in there at their zone, whether they're using a computer or a drum machine or their phone. Mm-hmm. They're there in their zone. They make whatever they make. And then at a certain point, around 9 o'clock, people start taking their turns on stage to just play the beat that they made.
That's really, like, I think that the whoever created that made it, this happen, like, I believe that person's a genius. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a, like, I'm truly inspired by that. So that model and that growth, like, also creating constraints, because you're giving a sample and you have a time period.
Yeah. Right.
But at the same time, all the beat makers, like, they will give their maximum for that within those constraints.
Find a way, right? Hip-hop is finding a way.
Exactly.
And so, exactly. Yeah, you find a way. But, you know, even with this event, with Loop Sessions, I feel like MCs in the city are sleeping.
Okay.
Like, you have an opportunity to go to a place where you can,
there's about, you can 20 producers.
Meet, no, not 20. On average, there's at least 50 producers going to Loop Sessions, because people will show up and they know they're like 55th and they're like, forget it this time. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lineup and it gets so, but, you know, by the end of the night, you will have heard at least 30, 40 different producers. There's a chance to meet them at the same time. And I just feel like, it's representative of the city to just have all these producers in one place. Mm-hmm. You know, a couple days ago, I go to, you know, Widget, my co-host over here, Widget put together a great event on Saturday night at Blue Dog. Okay. And you go there, but it's just all MCs and it's all artists, like non-producer artists.
Yeah.
All right.
So I'm just looking at him like, man, like,
if we could bring this crowd over to that crowd and then
all these people could mingle.
Yeah.
And it's just, there's so much energy there. But it's like you said, it's like we're brought up in this, you know, I don't know.
Tunnel vision mindset. Yeah.
Everybody does his own thing. Yeah.
But so with all that said, it's great that you're putting that event together.
Yeah, thanks.
People right now can follow the Instagram account.
Yeah, it's story.official.
So
it's story.official.
HITSTORY.official.
Exactly. So that's the story of a hit. So it's on Facebook and Instagram. People can follow and stay informed. So not tomorrow, next Thursday. It's happening at Ausgang Plaza.
Ausgang Plaza. And yeah, man. Recently, you guys had a show. That's why I couldn't, you know, you told me about the show that you were performing on Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I don't think, in my head, I was like, I don't think I can make it because this guy was putting on a show. But how was your show? Because basically what you told me, you said on the low, we have this kind of show this weekend. Yeah. So Rain Men performed live Saturday night.
So that was Camaro's show. Mm-hmm. So Camaro from LMDS. So he did a show at L'Olympia, like full crowded, sold out. So much people.
Amazing.
And a lot of artists. I think it's a very good thing that he did to bring a lot of people with him. He could have done that by himself.
Right.
And have, like, the attention of Julie Snyder and, like, whoever, big media controller, et cetera. He could have done that this way.
Right.
Because he still would have got paid, et cetera, and it would have good media coverage. But for him, it was important to bring people that were at the same period of time when he made his name at first.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So there were Sans Pression, Zion, Dice B was there, a lot of people, even new cats like EZS were there as well. So that was that importance. And Camaro, shout out to him, because he has a path. He had his label in France. Like, he did his thing for many years. People don't even know about that. People have different opinions about the way he was doing his music. Some people are saying it's not hip-hop. Some are saying it is. It's always happening whenever someone blows up. The same thing is happening with Loud right now. Mm-hmm. But still, he made a show with a good atmosphere, with people performing. Everybody had a good time. The crowd had a good time. Even people that didn't appreciate him kind of appreciated what he did.
Mm-hmm.
So good, let's say, working together kind of thing.
Right.
Nice. Yeah. So what did you guys perform?
Yeah, we just made a song. So we were included in about maybe 20 minutes back-to-back artists that perform within a show. So it was not headlining like the, you know, people normally would expect that there would be artists that would open for him, but that was within the middle of his show.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that's what I got from it. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and that's dope, man.
So Pacheleng we just did with Sabrina Scandal was with us.
Nice.
On stage. Nice. It's very rare that we do that with her, that we perform. So also Max from Ottawa because he's living there right now. So yeah, the three of us together for.
But I'm sure that it shouldn't be rare, you know, because if you guys put able to pull that off, the whole city wants to see that.
Yeah,
the whole city wants to see that.
Do you realize that the whole city wants to see it?
Yeah.
And how does that make you feel when you hear that?
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, I'm not 100% convinced about that, because. You know, sometimes a lot of people forget about Rain Man, and that's okay. That's fine. It happens. Some people do, and we appreciate that.
All the Way Live Radio, CKUT, 90.3 FM. Sorry to cut that abruptly, but this is a piece from an interview from a couple of years back. If you want to finish listening to the interview, soundcloud.com/pro-v-2. So that's my SoundCloud. All the old interviews, a lot of old shows. So go check that out. We're going to end off with No Chillin', the English version of Pud Chilling. So let's get into it. All the Way Live Radio, CKUT 90.3 FM. Thank you very much to Yuri from Rain Men for doing the interview, telling your story. And please go check out his music this Friday, like he said, March 13th. They got a little music release, so go check them out and enjoy the rest of the show. Peace.
Bright morning, I'm comfy in the shade. I feel a cool breeze while I'm sipping lemonade. I cut the cards like a blade. I'm in the yard with my niggas. Top billing, call me back. Mathematically, I got my figures. Picture my picture. I got the good shit, the kind of good shit. You know that everybody wanna get with. Scandals here to vandal on the beach. I wear my sandals. I'm too hot to handle, and my words just call your
mental. Channel to a different level. Not as simple, simple. Firm on the earth that trembling and told the cackle undetected. Demented wolves and lambskins all against this. We splinters, cause life for me's a long sentence. Material rhyming is long lasting masquerade. I see you out in a realness. You couldn't captivate the castaway. Activate the process to aggravate. Shattered and watch what the mind can make to predominate. Ain't no chillin', no face mouse, no passion feeling. Straining on the pavement, it's the realness you don't listen.
Yeah, I hear what you saying, you betraying the words I'm displaying. Preacher of this sad life, pretending ain't no time.
Ain't no chillin', no face mouse, no passion feeling. Straining on your pavement, it's the realness you don't listen.
Yeah, I hear what you saying, you betraying the words I'm displaying. Preacher of the sad life, pretending ain't no time for playing. Verse 2, this what I do, I'm jumping out the shower. Spray on the woof and women smelling fresh around the hour. Devour all the men that try to pick me like a flower. Rendezvous for business, yo, I meet you by the tower. By the power that G.O.D. invested in me. Respectfully, it's my last name, so you shall remember thee. I could rock your body, make you sing la-di-da-di. Nobody marks me out, cause I could surely rock a party.
I see lost ditches between poverty and riches. Filled with prisoners and blood and passed away niggas. Existence is perceived like the rock of Sisyphus. Never forget the essence. We're still beyond comparisons. Chillin's the last thing I think about. Even when we anchor now, still an anchor right. Any hour, be the rainy cloud. Tormented by many troubles. All day bustle, ain't no relaxing for us. Living life, I ain't no trouble. Chillin', no fixed smiles, no passion feelings. Waiting on your pavements, the realness you don't listen.
Yeah, I hear what you saying, you betraying the words I'm displaying. Preacher of the sad life, pretending ain't no time
ain't
for
no chillin', no fake smiles. No passion feelings, raining on your pavements. The realness you don't listen.
Yeah, I hear what you saying, you betraying the words I'm displaying. Preacher of the sad life, pretending ain't no time for playing. Hey, yo, I rock a party till the mood is just right. Puffin' ganja on the block, I'm heated by the sunlight. My appetite, spicy wings and Heineken beer. My atmosphere's relaxed, so stress does not come near. Bag of jeans and Timbs, I front the proper gear. Strictly 18 and 24K dressing up my ear. Shit, I'm chillin' God and you don't know the half of it. If I got beef up with some women, you know I'm packing it.
Bro,
how vicious God wisdom, the raw realness y'all missing. Cream clothes and prosphenetism's abstract prison. Living in a world of clashes, this eye compactness. For a long time, it's been all about props and dollars. The system got you thinking you's a scoundrel. Cash seems to rule each and everything around you. Before honor comes humility and penury, the world's earrings, the misery. Strength to amplify my unity. No shilling, no fake smiles, no passion, feeling.
We pledge resistance.
What's up? This is Saul Williams chilling here in Montreal here on CKUT. Peace.
We pledge alliance with those who have undergone attack for voicing opposition to the war.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
There is this thing. Do you realize what is? There is this thing. Do you realize
consciousness is affected?
There is this thing on. There is this thing going on. Do you realize
our consciousness is affected?
There is this thing going on.
What is called
the news brought to you live.
Welcome to the Wednesday edition of Off the Hour right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are 22 days into the month of September. We are broadcasting from unceded Mohawk and Anishinaabe territory. You are tuned into The Avalanche, a special presentation of CKUT's spoken word department. The Avalanche seeks to cover issues affecting those with disabilities. I'm your host, Zoe. On today's show, we have episode 30 of the Disability History Association's podcast, titled The Real Origin of Race Point Writing. All that right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. You are listening to The Avalanche, where all abilities are welcome. If you would like to get involved, you can call 514-448-4041, extension 2593, or email spokenword@ckut.ca. You can also follow us on Twitter